Please, to John chapter 4, and let's kind of look, let's look here, please, at the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, whatever you would like to call her. Again, just do this. And again, as you turn now, I'm going to tell you what got me to this passage, okay? I'm going to tell you what got to the passage and why we study, because if you're saying sometimes, well, Pastor, you know, well, what gets you to do something or whatever? And sometimes there's things that I just do on my own, and then after I do it, I'm kind of like, well, you know, I learned enough doing it that maybe the people in my church don't know all the things I just learned, so I'll go ahead and share it. But as I started looking at the woman of Samaria, it was not because I wanted to do a sermon. It was just something I was doing on my own, and this is what happened. I was listening to somebody preach not that long ago, and they made this statement. And this is the statement they made. They said, well, just like Jesus sat down with that prostitute at the well in Samaria. And I was like, wow. Wow. Now, not then did I flip in my Bible and go to John 4. But I heard that about the prostitute at the well. And I was like, wow. You know, so I didn't turn then. Stay with the message. Stay with it. You know, stay focused. You know, but in the back of your mind, like what? So when I had time, just kind of made a mental note. You know, when I have time, let's go study John chapter 4. And see where that came from or whatever it was, you know. I'm telling you, folks, that's what got me to go here. Okay, and so I started looking at the woman of Samaria, reading, and I got a couple other sources besides the Bible to read a little bit and see the commentaries. And, you know, after I'm done, I'm like, well, I've done enough work here. I may as well make a sermon out of it or teach what I've learned is what I'm saying. Okay, now let me just say up front, okay, so that you understand this. Okay, and this is kind of where I'm going. If you're saying what's the principles are going to be up front, and I'll remind you at the end also. Okay. Let's watch what we say about people. Let's watch what we say about people, please. I mean, I don't know if people in heaven have any access to information of what's going on down here, you know, but I can almost imagine her up there in heaven, okay, in the glories, and all of a sudden she hears from down there that somebody just called her a what? A prostitute. And she's like, wow, that hurt. Okay, now I don't know that that's happening in heaven, okay, but you can understand that. Watch what you're saying about people and thinking, you know, just watch it, okay? And so, again, I wanted to go and turn here and see what I had for her and just see about it. And hopefully what I come up with this morning is truth, okay? And whatever we call her or say about her, it's from the Bible. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. As I started looking at her and coming up with an outline or principles and points about her life, can I just tell you something? Boy, there's a lot of good things about this lady. Now, I don't know what you think about her, but if you're thinking, well, yeah, she wasn't a very good person, I hope I change your thinking this morning. I hope I do. And you don't agree with the speaker that I was listening to and called her a bad name. There are some really good things about this lady. Now, you're probably going to say, well, Pastor, I know about the other stuff. I know about all of it. I read the passage. I studied it. We're going to cover it all. Okay? But again, I just start with verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I grabbed just four pictures, I think it is. I love to take things in my mind and put them into pictures, okay? I put things in my mind into pictures, and a lot of times it helps me. I know I was talking to people one time, and I love math. I do well at math. I enjoy math. One of the things about my brain is it takes numbers and puts them into pictures. And I've had people say to me, I don't understand that. And I go, I don't either, but that's why I like math. I really see pictures when I look at math and do numbers. You know, I do tell people probably if God didn't call me to be a preacher, my major would have been something with math because of what goes on in there. When I see math numbers, I see pictures. Okay, now you can just say, Pastor, you're weird, okay? It's okay. It's okay. But I like pictures, and when I see pictures like this, it just really helps me with the story, okay? So I don't know what it looks like when you think, you know, she's coming there or whatever. So I just grabbed a couple pictures, you know, as you come to the well. Was Jesus sitting on the well? Was he over against the well? Was he leaning up against the tree? You know, what did it look like when they came there? This is more of a, again, I guess, photograph, is it not? Doesn't look like a picture. It's more of a photograph. But again, here comes this woman to the well, and she sees a man sitting there, and sure enough, she realized he was not a Samaritan. It was a stranger she'd never seen before. That was a Jew. I believe this is the last picture I have. Again, what do you picture her as? Okay, the pictures that I give you, even this picture, they picture a pretty girl, do they not? Okay. Do you agree with the age there? Does she should be older, younger? You know, what do you picture? Okay, sometimes we get so worried about what Jesus looks like in a picture. What do you picture her to be? How do you picture her? You know, and whatever you picture, I'm going to tell you right up front, we're going to see this lady in heaven. Okay, she's there, folks. She's up in heaven. And so I have no doubt about that. But there's Jesus comes along. So what I want to do is I just want to give you some things. And I said 20. I haven't counted them, so I don't know what there is. But I see a bunch of them. Okay, points about this lady that I want to give. And again, a lot of them really good. Okay, so do you understand that? First thing I want to give you. Okay, we're going to start at the basics. She was a woman. Okay. Now this is what I want you to know about this. As I'm looking at this, you say, "Well, Pastor, that's just so obvious. What is it?" Here's the point I want you to know. When you study Jesus' life, you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can I say something? If you were to put ladies on one team and put men on the other team, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the women might have won this one. When it comes to living like a Christian, having the faith that it takes to be a Christian, as you come through the Gospels, the women might have beat the men. Now, there might be women saying, "I've never ever heard a man preach this from the pulpit." Okay, we always hear about men and men and men. But you start going through the stories that Jesus interacts with women. Can I tell you something? They are busy doing what? Serving him. You know what? You can go through some stories about men and find what? And I'll do too well. Okay? And even ladies that had what I'm going to say checkered pasts, when they're around Jesus, what are they doing? And I don't have them all. I mean, there was a woman that was a sinner in John chapter 7, was that? Okay, but she was washing Jesus' feet. Because we found out that, you know what? She was forgiven all her sins, and she was washing Jesus. In fact, Jesus looked at a man and said, "What? You didn't do this. You didn't do this. But she did." So again, I want you to see she was a woman. And in the Gospels, the women maybe outdid the men. How many men are like, "Hey, Pastor, you're making us look very good." Okay, then in your own right, get up to what God wants you to be. Again, I just had some verses here. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Who is this lady, Pastor? You didn't give us enough details. This is the lady who was a Gentile from up near Tyre and Sidon. Daughter was sick. She met Jesus and said, "My daughter needs healed." And he made a statement like this. "It's not meet to take the food and give it to what? Dogs." Remember that? Her faith was so great that she went right back to him and said, "Yet the dogs can eat the crumbs under the table." She said, "Look, Jesus, I don't need a big piece of bread here. You're so powerful, just one of your crumbs is all I need." And he said, "Woman, you have great faith." Now, I know there is a man in the Gospels that Jesus said, "Look, I've not seen this kind of faith, not this great faith, no, not in Israel." And it was a man. But this is one person, again, a lady that was said, "Your faith is great." Let's take the 12 disciples. What did Jesus say about their disciples from time to time? "Oh, ye of..." I'll tell you what. Being a woman in the Bible around Jesus, you shine. You shine. So again, when I say, "Well, she was a woman." Oh, no, that's good. Because they did. Again, I got this one here. Jesus turned them about and said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Who's this one? This is the lady who said, "If I can just get close enough to touch the what? Hem of his garment." What faith? I don't need his hand. I don't need his almighty arm and power. I just need to touch the hem. And what? You know what? Be of good comfort. What was it? How many years? Was it 18 years? She suffered much at the hands of physicians. She had faith. "If I can just touch his garment." I don't see any men coming up that way with that kind of faith. But the lady did. Again, she came there. Again, I can't mention all the ladies, but I'll go to the end of Jesus' life. Again, there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, the last, and of Joseph, of Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Notice, I grabbed a group of women here. Okay, we're in Mark chapter 15. Where are we? Jesus is being arrested, tried, and crucified. Who's around to see it happening? It's women, folks. Where are the men? Okay? Now, you know, I know there's John. I know John. But even Peter kind of got close, but what happened to him? As soon as they started identifying, what did he do? Deny. These women, again. And you can see even before this time, these women formed a group. And again, they ministered to Jesus and helped and met his needs there. Moving on, when I go at the end, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. I know Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were burying him, but you know what? They just did not leave him. And so until they rolled that stone across, okay, they didn't leave. I got a question for you. Where's the other 11? They're not there. Not so bad to be a lady in the Bible. Faithful. Faithful people being with Jesus. And then we go immediately into Mark chapter 16. Okay? Okay. I think I got the wrong verse up there. I don't think it's verse 16. I think it's probably verse 1. So when I went, I didn't get a 6. I think it's verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, brought sweet spices that they might come and do what? Anoint him. Okay? Where were the disciples, folks? Hiding in a room. Where were these? They're heading up to the tomb. Okay? A very faithful people there. So again, we're going to look at, first of all, she was a woman. And the record that is written in the gospel accounts speak very well of women and what they did. So I would say here, women, keep up the tradition. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. Second point that I have here, and I'm not going to keep counting them because I'm going to run out because I don't have numbers on my sheet. She was a Samaritan. In your mind, what are you thinking? Oh, those bad Samaritans. Those Samaritans. I looked up what a Samaritan is. I've always known what it has been for a long time. Again, these were the people of Israel that in 722 B.C., when the Assyrians came in, they took them and they took them out of the land and put them among the heathen nations. And a bunch of them then came back. They had already intermarried before they came back. Then some of them may have come back as Jews, but then they found other heathens in the land of Samaria and they intermarried with them. So again, these are people that have Jewish blood in them. Again, they could be half Jewish and the other part would be the other nations of them. And this is why the Jews didn't like them. But I'm going to give you the same thing that I gave you before. Yeah, I could find a passage where maybe the Samaritans weren't doing absolutely really, really good. And the men, they were at men's breakfast yesterday. I kind of gave you one passage where the Samaritans had a little problem. But you know what? When we talk about Samaritans in the Bible, guess what? Folks, they're beating the Jews. Luke 17:6. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. Who knows the story here? How many people did Jesus heal? 10. How many came back and said thank you? 1. And he was a Samaritan. The others were what? Jews. And what did Jesus say upon this? Where's the 9? Where's the 9 Jews that I healed? Only a Samaritan came back and said thank you. So again, I want to change your mind. And this is what I'm trying to say. Watch what you think about people and say about, oh, those terrible Samaritans. Really? This is a pretty good Samaritan here. I got up on the board. Am I right about that? Who's the other Samaritan? Have you ever heard of the story in the Bible called the Good Jew? Anybody got me on that one? I looked for the Good Jew. I haven't found it. Okay? What did I find in the Bible, though? A story that we call the what? The Good Samaritan. Okay? And again, if you remember, there were two Jews in that story. What did the two Jews do in the story? Oh, they passed by on the what? Other side. But the good Samaritan not only passed by on this side and took care of him, he then put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, paid for his recovery, if you want to put it that way, and even said, it's an open account. If I owe you more, when I come back, I'll pay you. Folks, that speaks well also. This innkeeper must have been familiar with this Samaritan, and he knew if he said, I'll make the count paid up, I'll do it. That makes sense, does it not? He wasn't going to run out on the bill. And that's good when a man can say, hey, I know that man, okay? You say, well, what was his name? Sam. Okay, Sam, Samaritan. Okay, Sam, when he comes back, if he said he's going to pay, he's going to pay. So really, I want you to look at this lady. When I say that she was a Samaritan woman, don't think, oh, okay, she was a woman. Wow. That's faithfulness. She was a Samaritan. There are some really good Samaritans in the Bible. Are you with me on that? Okay. And by the way, I've given you two Samaritans that were good people. I hope by the time the sermon's done, you'll know 3. Are you with me on that? And you'll never say Jesus sat down on a well with a what? I don't think you'll say that. Okay. So again, I have that there. Again, the other thing that I had here, just as I was reading it, this lady had questions. This lady had questions, okay? That's good. It means she's inquisitive. It means she wants to know, okay? But I wrote down in verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I mean, she didn't just let it rest that, hey, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we hate each other, and all of that, you know? I'm going to ask a question here. How come you're talking to me? If you have your Bibles open, what's Jesus say? Hey, if you knew, and I'm paraphrasing, if you knew who I was, okay, if you knew who I am, you'd want to be talking to me, okay? You'd want to be talking to me. So again, she asked that question, why are you talking to me? And Jesus said, because you need to know who I am. And by the way, the whole world needs to know who he is. The whole world needs to know. So that was a good question. She asked another question. Where are we going to verse 11? The woman said to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then where are you getting this living water? Okay. And she found out that it's not coming from what? It's not coming from the well. It's coming directly from him. And he answered about the well, and again, it'll spring up unto salvation. So she wanted to know, she didn't just sit there, living water. Oh, what's that mean? She said out loud, what's that mean? Where are you getting this? You know what? You don't have anything to dip with. Where are you getting this? And she got her answer. And then later in the passage, she didn't say this. Later in the passage, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank them from himself and his children and his cattle? What's the answer to that question? Oh, yeah. I'm a whole lot better than Jacob. In fact, I thought about this. You want to know if I'm greater than Jacob? A number of years ago, about 2,000 years ago, we had a wrestling match. And I beat him. Because what did Jacob do from that day forward? He limped. Does anybody know the story? Is that Genesis 32, I think it is? I think it's Genesis 32. If it's not 32, it's 28, but I do think it's 22. It's 32. Hey, I know Jacob. And by the way, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I am the what? God of Jacob. You better believe I'm greater than Jacob. Are you greater than Jacob? Oh, yeah. I'm way greater than Jacob. And again, then this question was not asked to Jesus when she went back into the town. She started asking people a question. Come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is this not the Messiah we're looking for? Putting some questions in her mind. Oh, maybe it is. Let's go find out. And they did, didn't they? So this lady had a lot of questions, and she got her questions answered. And again, her asking questions, I believe, led her to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and getting saved. And that's why I believe she's in heaven today. Other things that I have about her, she knew Bible stories. You study this passage. She knew Bible stories. When they are sitting at the well, okay, she basically says to Jesus, it was Jacob. Now, I tell people this, when you study those Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, one thing that I know that they did, somebody taught me this in the past, wherever Abraham went, he did three things, okay? He put up a tent, built an altar, dug a well, okay? Isaac usually did three things. What were they? Put up a tent, built an altar, and what? Dug a well. And then Jacob, I don't know how many altars he built, but again, we know that he made altars too wherever he went. And not every place he went, but a lot of places he went, he did what? Dug a well. And she knows the Bible stories of Jacob. Well, he was a well digger. And when he dug there, he did them for his children so they'd have a place there in the land that they could say. So again, as you say, well, here's a lady, and what do we know about? She knew her Bible stories. She knew what was going on. Now, again, Bible stories are really good to know. I hope you're learning Bible stories. I hope that if I mention a Bible story ever and you go, boy, I'm not really familiar with that Bible story, sometime later when the sermon's done, go find it in your Bible and learn it, okay? Go learn the Bible story. But again, Bible stories. So again, here's a lady that knew Bible stories, okay? Here's the next thing I got. She was related to Jacob. Are you related to Jacob? I'm not, okay? I mean, I don't think there's any Jewish blood in me, okay? In fact, kind of, a lot of my blood's the opposite. I'm German. That's kind of like opposite, isn't it? Okay? We're trying to make that better, but it wasn't years ago, was it? Again, she was related because she said, are you greater than what? Our father Jacob. Now, she realizes that Jesus is a Jew, so she's related to him, but she knows that she's related to Jacob. He's our father. So again, in their history, in their teaching, she knows that she goes back to Jacob and back to Isaac and heads on back to Abraham. And so she knows, again, a little bit of her lineage and what she had there. So again, she was related to Jacob. Again, being a Samaritan, not a full-blooded Jew, but again, she was Jewish. And so it goes all the way back to Jacob. So she's a Jew. So she related there. Again, the other thing that I did here is that she knew she was needy. She knew she was needy because in verse 15, the woman said unto her, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. I need your living water. Again, there's a problem we have in the world today. We have a problem with people in the world that they don't know they need to be saved. They think they're pretty good, and they're going to make it on their own. I've met people like that. Well, I didn't need to get saved. I'm pretty good. I'm as good as the next guy. What's this lady say? I need this living water. Remember, she said it'll rise up in them unto salvation. He said it'll rise up in them unto salvation. And what'd she say? I need that water. Okay? So again, she knew she was needy. She knew she was in need of a Savior. She knew that she was a sinner. That's good, because I tell people, unless you know what you are, you may not know you need to be saved. Hey, I'm pretty good. There's nothing good in us. So again, she was needy. She needed a Savior. She found it in Jesus Christ. Let me give you something. And some of you writing points, I don't know what point I'm up to. She was honest. She was honest. Okay? Basically, Jesus made a statement to her. He didn't ask her a question. He basically said, go get your husband. Okay? Go get your husband. Now here we are. Okay? And she's in front of somebody. They're talking spiritual things. In a little bit, she's going to realize that, you know, this guy is pretty smart spiritually. He may be a prophet. Okay? And here she is in front of him, and he says, go get your husband. And maybe she doesn't want to admit that who I'm living with right now is what? Not my husband. So she could have just said what? Okay, I'll go get him. That would have been a little deceptive, right? So what did she say, really? What'd she say? The woman answered and said unto her, I don't have a husband. Now watch this. Jesus said unto her, thou hast done well. You have well said. You answered it right. Okay, if this was a test, you got that one right. All right? Again, she was an honest person. I have no husband. You have well said, I have no husband. Then he goes on, you've had five husbands, and the one that you're with now, he's not your husband. In that, thou sayest truly. Okay? So she was an honest person. Okay? I don't know. Sometimes, now watch this. If we have a past that we're not so proud of sometimes, what do? We hide it. We don't want to put it out there. You know, or maybe we have a present that we don't like that's going on. We don't like it. But she said, you know what? I don't have a husband. Admitting that the man that I'm living with, again, I'm not there, whatever. But again, let me answer something here and move away from this just a little bit, okay? She's had five husbands, and I think that that's the phrase that people pick up on. I've had five husbands. That people think of what? This is a lady with a really bad past, okay? Oh, this is a horrible lady, five husbands or whatever. Really? I've got other verses in the Bible where Jesus says, and she's been married a lot, okay, I've got five husbands, but he says, look, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, come unto him and say, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now, folks, I think I know which way this one's leaning. Do you see it leaning any certain way or whatever? They're basically saying, if I wake up one morning and my wife doesn't cook breakfast exactly the way I like it, can I divorce her? And here's the lean. Please say yes. Okay? I mean, can we get rid of our wives for just any reason? And they're not being good about this. They're being like, we really want you to say yes. That if we married somebody and we don't really like them, or there's something about them we don't like, or there's something that they did last night or whatever, that we can just go ahead and get rid of them. Now watch this. You're this lady. You've had five husbands. You are living under this philosophy that even comes down from the spiritual leadership. That if all of a sudden your wife does something you don't like, you can do what? Go get a divorce. So you write it up. It sounds crazy. But who are you taking it to? You're taking it to the leaders over at the temple. Who are they? The Pharisees. They're kind of agreeing that if she did something, put it on a piece of paper, we'll stamp it, you're done. Now watch this. Is it possible? And here's what I'm saying. Give somebody the benefit of the doubt. That this lady, the worst thing she's done to have five divorces, is she burn eggs in the morning. But let's go even a step further. Maybe they all died. Now, I'm not saying her eggs were that bad, okay? But we know that she had five husbands. We don't know a whole lot about the rest of it. Do you? Can you explain to me what their names were and how it happened that they were divorced? Okay, we would like to think, and all of a sudden, this is how I'm putting it together, that maybe from other people, The reason why she got divorced is because she was unfaithful and ran around on these men. And so they divorced her, and that's why we call her a prostitute. Could it be any other way? We don't have that information. They could have all died. I'm not, you know, now you're saying, Pastor, do you think so? No, I'm not thinking so. Okay, because this is where I'm going on the next one, okay? She's now living with a man that's not her husband. Maybe she's got divorced in such ridiculous reasons that she's now saying what? Why try again? It's just going to end with some ridiculous reason again. You know, because Pharisees believe that you can put away. By the way, to finish this passage in Matthew chapter 9, okay, when he was done teaching the Pharisees about, look, you cannot divorce your wives for any reason. I mean, it is very strict. You stay married for life. He that put them together, okay, let not man put them asunder. Are you familiar with these verses? Okay, and yeah, there is a case where it may be so, except for fornication, okay, but you cannot just come up with frivolous little reasons to do that. And the disciples' conclusions on Jesus' talk was what? Well, if we can't get rid of this woman for frivolous reasons, why should we get married in the first place? I mean, I'm not, you know, and you almost hear the disciples in the back of their mind saying, why would I want to get married if I'm going to be stuck with them for life? We're not used to that. We're not used to that. Okay? Are you seeing how I'm putting this together? That divorce in those days, and even other commentators, Josephus seems to say that marriage in those days was not a very rock-solid institution. You know, men got rid of their wives pretty commonly. Pretty commonly by the time Jesus came along. By the way, look at the king of their land, the Herods. Do a study on the Herods if you want to. By the way, they usually didn't divorce them. If they didn't like them, they just killed them. I'm right about that, folks. Okay? So again, there's not a very good foundation to marriage here. And so we have a lady that's had a lot of husbands. I understand that, okay? The Bible doesn't say any more than that. Watch where you go on this one, okay? Watch where you go. Because it may have been they died, but no, maybe they didn't. But maybe the divorces were such that, again, she was a fairly good wife, but just something that whatever, okay? If you want me to say it and teach it, because of the teachings of Jesus, come on, folks. Divorce is a long, long, marriage is a long, long time. We're in it for the long haul. Things happen, not getting divorced, okay? And I love going back to Mrs. Graham. I know she's died now, but I know going back to Mrs. Graham when she talked about Billy, because somebody asked her, did you ever think about divorcing? And she said, divorcing him? No. Killing him? Yes. You know, and I thought about that. Well, it's just the principle. They're not going to get divorced, okay? But again, so before you make too much of those five husbands, give her some benefit of the doubt. Don't go there, okay? Don't go there. Here's a lady that, again, knows some things, again, knows Bible stories, an honest person. Again, we know that. Now, I do know that I'll give you this one. She has no husband presently, okay? I mean, it says that. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband. Okay. Now, to make the point, she has no husband. Do you understand what that means? Because sometimes this has got to tweak our thinking a little bit. Okay? She did not say, I have five husbands. She has had five husbands, but presently she has what? No husband. Here's a question I have to ask, and I think it's a really good question. What do you have to do to have two wives? She was married five times and had five husbands. Presently, she has no husband. What do you have to do to have two wives in the Bible? You got to be married to them both at the same time. Okay, just so that you understand that. Because this lady has no husband. And I know sometimes as we get around our circles or whatever, we might say, well, if you've been married and divorced, you married somebody else, you got two wives. Where did you get that teaching? Because she has none. And she's been married what? Five. So I do tell people when you're looking at some things and watching things, when it says the husband of one wife, it's kind of hard to have two unless they're under the roof with you both at the same time. Okay? So again, as you're watching here, she has no husband presently. It helps you interpret some other passages of the Bible, doesn't it? Okay? She has no husband. By the way, she is living with somebody. And just so you understand, as I've taught before, she was living in fornication. But do you realize that living with this person in fornication does not mean they're married? Have you heard that statement? I've said the statement from this pulpit before. Have you ever heard that statement, people? Well, in the eyes of God, they're married. No, God was standing there right with her at the well. Am I right about that? Was God standing? Jesus is God. And he said, though you're living with somebody, you're not married. Okay? So if somebody says, well, in the eyes of God, you're married. Well, no, because the eyes of God were right there and said you're not. Watch where you go with certain statements. Make sure you're backed up with Bible. Okay? So here's a lady, multiple husbands, but none at the present time. And she's living with somebody, not a husband. Okay? Yeah, she was living in fornication. Now, if you're saying, well, Pastor, I thought you were all hepped up on this lady and that she was real good and everything. No, she's living in fornication, folks. I'm not running from that one. Okay? That's no good. That is no good. All right? That's a part that doesn't need to be. All right? Now, I know that maybe I said I made an allowance for her and I didn't. Oh, well, maybe she said, well, I've tried it 5 times. It didn't work. I'm not trying that one again. Don't go there. Obey God. All right? Obey God. And I've heard people, I've had people say to me, well, Pastor, here's why. Because we get better tax deductions if we're not married or something. Anybody ever ran that one by you or whatever? Who cares about money? Do what's right. Do what's right. Okay? I serve a big God. You do what right, I'm going to tell you what, he takes care of you. So, I'm telling you at this point in time, she's living in fornication. Doesn't make her a prostitute. Okay? Right? Doesn't make her a prostitute. Doesn't make her a person that Jesus can't use. Okay? Because I still believe in something called repentance and reconciliation. Anybody else like those words? Because if there was no such thing as repentance and reconciliation, who would be qualified in this room to be a servant of God? Who wants to pick up the stone and throw it first? Can I go to another Bible story? And all those Pharisees standing there when Jesus said, pick up a stone and throw it first, what happened? They all left. There is something called repentance and reconciliation. Yes, she is a sinner here. Yes, she is doing something that's directly against God's word, against God's law. Yes, she is. Okay? Doesn't mean that it has to stay that way. I believe in repentance and reconciliation and getting on for God there. So she was. Again, she was living in fornication. Moving on, get back there. But she was perceptive. Because as Jesus is talking to her in verse 19, right after he said, you know, the one you have now, he's not your husband. And all of a sudden, now watch, he is mentioning stuff in a conversation that she's never revealed. Is everybody with me on that? Okay? It's like, whoa. And so what'd she say? I perceive you're a what? Because you know stuff. And by the way, this is where I think she knows her Bible. Because she knows in the Bible, if you know Bible stories, there were prophets that knew stuff. That there was no other way to know it except they were a prophet. I mean, I remember a king came after Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 5. Every time they tried to ambush the army, Elisha warned them and said, hey, they're coming this way. And what was the saying in 2 Corinthians 5, Kings 5? I didn't look it up. But when a bird or somebody whispers in your bedchamber, king, Elisha hears it. When you whisper in your bedchamber, Elisha hears it. Because he's a prophet. Okay, so there are prophets. I mean, Nathan came before David. There's David thinking, man, I've covered my sin. Nobody knows. Who looks at him and says what? Thou art the man. Prophet. She knows her Bible. And she goes, you know this stuff? Isn't it funny that, again, you're standing there, you haven't told anybody anything about you, and all of a sudden he knows everything, and he's a complete stranger or whatever. I tell you, I had a funny conversation, because a man called me this week. I won't give you all the details. But a man called me this week, and when he called me, this is a man that I don't think has ever called me in his life. He's never called me in his life. But when the phone number came up on the phone, I recognized the phone number. So this guy's talking to me, and I said, don't worry, I'll get with you next week. I know where you live, and I know who you are. And he's like, how do you know who I am and where I live? I said, I recognize your phone number. I said, about 8 years ago, you gave me your phone number, and you said my phone number is 364 Civil War, because you said the Civil War started in 1860. I'm not sure that it did, but I just remember the man said to me, my number is 364 Civil War. And when I saw 364 1860 come up on my phone, I said, I know who that is. Boy, was he surprised. Then who am I and where do I live? I said, you live right across from the church, and your name is Larry. And he's like, whoa, you're good. I was about to say, I'm a prophet. Because I was studying. Now, folks, you got to realize, I was studying this stuff for a couple of weeks. And I just thought, no, I'm a prophet, okay? You call me, I got you, okay? So that's the way it is. How many of you, though, when I answer the phone, you all realize that when I pick up the phone, I know who you are? Does anybody know that or whatever? Yeah, most of you, when you call me, if you've ever called me, you're in my phone, so I know when you're calling, okay? And like Jason says, wow, Pastor, you knew it was me, and you still picked up the phone. Yep, I sure did. So, and the same way back then, he don't want to answer my calls either, but she's perceptive. Wow, you know some things here. I perceive that you're a prophet, and again, she knows that, boy, this man knows stuff or whatever. Going on, some more things about her here. Again, she did have spiritual interests, okay? Because, again, in verse 20, She says, well, our Samaritans, our fathers, we worship in this mountain. It was Mount Gerizim. They're pointing to Mount Gerizim. And she goes, we have a temple up on Mount Gerizim, and that's where we worship. And you Jews say that you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. What's right there? Are we right or are you right? I mean, she's got some spiritual interests here. She's worried about spiritual things. Are we doing it right or are the Jews doing it right? And this is where Jesus says, you know what? There's coming a day when you won't be worshiping up on that mountain. And by the way, the Jews won't be worshiping on their mountain, because when people want to worship God, they can worship Him anywhere and do it in spirit and in truth. That's where we are right now, folks. This is not Mount Jerusalem. We're not in Jerusalem. And we can worship God right here if we do it in spirit and in truth. And so, again, she had spiritual interests. Okay, well, I'm kind of concerned about where we're supposed to worship. And Jesus does answer. But as of right now, Jerusalem's the place where you ought to be worshiping. The Jews have it right. You don't. Okay, you ought to be going down to Jerusalem to worship God. That's where God's name is. Okay? Again, going on, I put down here, she knew Bible prophecy. This lady knew Bible prophecy, because in verse 25, she said, when Messiah comes, He's going to tell us all things. She knows her Bible, folks. We've been taught that when Messiah comes, He's going to tell us all things. And she's thinking, here's a man who basically is telling me a whole lot of stuff. And she wants to know, are you Him? I have a question for you. Did Jesus answer her? Very specifically, and I again, if you're looking for a verse, very specifically in verse 26, He says, I that speak unto thee am He. I have a lot of people that say, I've heard liberal commentators, liberal preachers, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Really? She's talking about Messiah coming, and when He comes, He's going to tell us all things. And Jesus says, the person you're talking to at this well right now is Him. I don't think He could have made it any clearer. Am I right about that? Couldn't make it any clearer, so that you see. So again, she knew Bible prophecy. Okay, I'm going to keep moving to the best part, though. At that point in time, what did she do? She trusted that Jesus was the Christ. Okay, I mean, she knows, okay, this is a Jewish man standing here before me, and you know what? He's the Christ. That's who He is. Okay, again, she says, they're coming, and again, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She's telling them, you need to come to see if this is the Christ. She's convinced in her mind, this is the Christ, okay? This is the Christ. By the way, again, we've got some other verses in the Bible. I didn't skip one, did I? I think I'm okay. Okay, but again, look at the end of John's book. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the what? What's the word Christ mean? Messiah. So John wrote his whole book to tell people, the reason why I wrote this book is to make you know that Jesus is the Christ. Isn't it amazing that this story was put into the book of John? Because this lady, hearing Jesus talk, knew He was the Messiah. John said, I'm using that story because in my book, I'm trying to tell people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And if you believe on Him, you'll have life through His name. Again, Paul took up the same rallying cry over there in Acts chapter 3, where they in Thessalonica here, I believe it was. And this is what he did, is he went into the synagogues for a number of weeks, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And here's his point. And this Jesus who I preach unto you, He's the Christ. Okay? Can you understand when you realize Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, you're getting saved. What's the big hang-up that the Jews have today? They don't believe Jesus is the what? Christ. They don't believe it. Okay? She does. And she's just a woman and just a Samaritan. But I'll tell you what. Two titles not to be afraid of. It's good to be a woman in the Gospels because you're faithful. And again, she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Again, a couple more points and I'm done. She was a soul winner. She was a soul winner. Let me tell you, folks. Verse 30. Then went out of the city and came unto them. Then they went out of the city. I mean, she goes back into the city. Man, she starts talking. She starts yelling. She starts knocking on doors and what? Man, they're all headed out to the well. This lady's a soul winner. Okay, she wants to tell people about Christ, this Jesus that she just met. She's an absolute soul winner. Again, over in verse 39, same thing. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. She's like, it's got to be the Messiah, because when the Messiah comes, He's going to tell us all things. I mean, she's out there winning souls. People are getting saved because she's telling them who this is. This is Jesus the Messiah, and they put their faith in Him. Besides being a soul winner, again, you might say, well, this is kind of the same thing. There were some people, I think, in the city that said, we hear what you're saying, but we want to find out on our own. And so she said, you do? Good. Get out to the well. Get out there, okay? And listen to him yourself. And so I put down there, she led people to Jesus. And many more. Now, there are people that believed on Jesus because of what she said. Many more believed on it because of his own word. They said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. We've heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So again, there's kind of two sets of believers. There's people that heard her preach and say, boy, we're going to put our faith and trust in this man. There's others that, we're not so sure. Then get out to Jesus. Get out there. You know, can I tell you something, folks? If you lead people to Jesus, they'll get saved. In Massachusetts, I used to talk to a lot of Catholics. And I know at the end of the conversation, if I could say, you just need to start reading the book of John. Just read the book of John. And there are Catholics that would read the book of John, and guess what you'd hear a little bit later? They trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Remember Jason Connor. Just made contact with Jason's mom. Where's Tony? The other day. Talking to her. And Curtis was out in Seattle, tried to find Jason. But Jason's dad had cancer, and he was kind of an agnostic, close to an atheist or whatever. And Jason bought a Bible at Christmas and said this to his dad, who only had months to live or a year to live, said, Dad, just promise me one thing. Just promise me one thing. If I give you this Bible, you start on the first page and you promise me to read it. Will you promise me if I give you this Bible, just read it? That's all I'm asking. I won't ask you about it. I won't give you a quiz. I won't even ask you if you're doing it. Promise me you'll read this Bible. This is a man who's an agnostic, maybe an atheist or whatever. And he said, because you're my son, I'll read it. Anybody want to tell me what happened? He got saved. He got saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? You just get him to Jesus. Get him to his word. And people are going to get saved. So she led people to Jesus. Now, again, I go back to this. If you were going to start a church in this town, do you think you'd like to have her in your church? She'd be a pretty good person to have in church, right? Really? Now, you're saying, but she's got that, yeah, repent, reconciled, and I'll tell you what, if they started a church on that day, they already had a bunch of members in one day from one person. You know, that's the kind of person you want on your team, is it not? So when I look at this lady, here's the question I have. Would you like for this lady to serve in a church with you? And if you're saying, well, she's got this checkered past that we can't overlook, get over it, folks. You got one too. Am I right about that? Repent. Get right with God and let's go forward and serve God with all our hearts. I can see her down there in Sunday school teaching children. I can see it. She knew her Bible. And I'll tell you what, if you came out of her Sunday school class, there's one person you'd know about. Who is it? Jesus. You'd know all about Jesus. This woman at the well, I want to talk to her when I get to heaven. I really do. I think she's going to be a neat person to talk to and see where her life went from here. I think it took some good turns. I think it was really good. At this point in time, Sam, he walked by a guy there on the road to Jerusalem from Jericho, and you know, that was his name. So I'm just giving her the name Samantha. Okay, I don't know what her name is, but when I get to heaven, I'm just going to say, well, down here I called you Samantha. Okay, Sam was the other Good Samaritan. You're the lady Good Samaritan. Samantha, pretty good person. Principal, I'm done. Watch what you say about people, especially those who are blood-washed Christians. They got checkered paths. Watch what you say. Because you know what? Jesus likes people like this. Father, I pray that you might be with us. Lord, I thank you for this lady. And Lord, again, some things, but nothing that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. Nothing that you can't forgive. Lord, nothing that you can't seek reconciliation. And it can be found. We thank you that the arm of Jesus Christ is long and strong to save everybody. And Lord, we thank you for this lady. And Lord, we know that there's many in glory today because of her witness for Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to do the same as she did, to go tell people about Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.